Mesechta Saita, Daf Mem Dal, the last line of Daf Mem Gimel Beis, and the Gemara continues with its seventh member that it's bringing from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and this is the fourth one that will be for Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that Rabbi Yitzchak said the name of Rabbi Yechon in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we continue on Daf Mem Dal Med Aleph, Mes Taifes Abba Amas Latumba, that if someone comes within four Amas of a corpse, they will become Tamei, and Rashi says, Chacham Gazru, the Chacham Mid Gzira, She Mes Mitame, Kol Nichs Abba Amas, that any corpse will be Tamei, anyone that comes within its four Amis, Kadesh Lai Gilu, Eichle Tarius, Le Karvlai, in order that people that eat Tarius, they will not come close to a Mace, be Savish Layal, and they will rely on the fact that they don't think they will go on top of the Mace and they won't become Tamei, Vishlach, Shem Yusha Yada, Vial, Vilavadite, and the Rabbanim were concerned that maybe a person will actually get too close to the Mace and he won't realize that he's placed his hand over the Mace and he will actually become Tamei, and therefore the Rabbanim said that you should stay four Amis away from any Mace, and if you go within four you will become Tamei. And the Gemara will now bring a raya from a Mishnah Masechtas Alois. Before we continue, let's just remember the Metzias of how Batei Kfaris used to be. And as we mentioned in the past, they used to have at least three different rooms for their Beis HaKfaris. In the two outer rooms, they would bury the mason within the walls, and these were like crypts that were placed into the walls. And then in the center between these two large rooms, there would be a central chotzer that was made for the people to go inside that area and be able to go towards the mason and be able to bury their dead. Now, in order to get into that central courtyard, there were two possibilities. One way would be that they would actually just lower themselves into that courtyard, and then in order to get out, they would have to climb out of that courtyard. And some of these courtyards actually had steps that would lead into the courtyard. Of course, if there were steps, then those steps would angle away from the courtyard and would take them a little bit further away from the courtyard. And with this basic knowledge, the Gemara continues, Vitana Tuna, and we also have a similar Mishnah in Masechta Always that is a riot to the dinner of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Mishnah states Chotzer Keva, the courtyard of the Beis HaKfaris, Ha'im Mebetechi Tar. If someone stands within that courtyard, they will be tar, because no mason were buried in the courtyard, and the mason were buried in the two outer rooms, or sometimes there were four outer rooms. And Rashi explains Kol Makom Shehu Ha'im Batar, in any place that you are within that courtyard, you will be tar. The Kivin Ma'ar Chaluka Yimena Mechitzas Nikaris LeGazra Banim BeMasim Shebetecha SheYitvesu Dal Amisuv Sel. That since that courtyard was built in a way that everyone could realize it was its own separate room, as it had its own doorways and its own mechitzos, so since there is a hekka, so no one would come and be mile on the mace. And as Rashi continued, the chigazer abana ba ames be mace hamutu ba'aver, and the only time that abana made this gzira that a mace is teifis abba ames l'tumma was only by a corpse where it's mutu ba'aver. So, for example, at any point above the ground and above the area where the mason were actually buried, that would actually be teifis. And if someone stands within four Amis of where the actual mace is buried, then they will become Tamei. But below ground, in the chutz itself, you would not become Tamei because it's a hekker, and therefore there's no shaila that a person will not be mile on top of the corpse. And the Mishnah qualifies this din, and Beishamai says this is only where the chutz actually had an area of four Amis by four Amis, and since that's a machum kashuv, so we're not going to be worried that he's going to go and be mile on top of a mace. And Rashi explains that it's considered a however, it would be less than four Amis by four Amis, then but la itzla mara, then this chotzer hakeva would be butl to the mara, and it wouldn't be considered its own spot, and even though there's a hekka, you would still be tummy. It would be still imrim, be still arguing and be shamai, and they say abba tvachim, that since we find in other places in the Torah, for example, b'degei irvin and b'degei sukkah, that four tvachim is a makum chashiv, therefore, as long as the chotzer hakeva was four tvachim by four tvachim, that is a sheer chashiv, and as long as there's a hekka, you're not going to be tummy if you stand within the chotzer kever. And the Mishnah continues, b'medvar murim, when the Beisil state that you only need four tvachim is only shepischa m'maylo if the opening to this kever and to the chotzer kever is from above and there are no steps. Avapischa m'natzad, but if the pesach is on its side because there are steps leading away from the m'ora and leading away from the chotzer kever, dira kol habamis, then even Beisil would agree that the only time that we consider that you're not going to be tummy when you're in the chotzer kever is if the chotzer kever had an area of four Amis by four Amis. Now, if we take a moment to think about what the Mishnah just stated, it doesn't make any sense, as L'chari the Svar would be punk vaket, and as the Gemara asked, klapi lai adi rabba, that just the opposite should be true. Minatzad midrid v'nafik. If you have steps that lead into the chotz akeva, that every time you take a step to lead you away from the chotz akeva, you're actually getting yourself further away from the chotz akeva. And over there, certainly, even if the chotz akeva was smaller, you don't have to worry that maybe a person will actually mile on top of mesim. As in order to get away from the chotz akeva and to get out of this chotz, you don't have to actually go near the mesim, and you could just walk up the steps, and therefore there won't be a problem, and you won't have to be mile on a mesim. However, if the only way to get out of this chotz akeva is to pick yourself up and to somehow pull yourself out of the keva, and you don't have any steps to do so, in that case, you'll have to put your hands on top of the area where you're getting closer to the actual mesim, and therefore over there should be more of a svara, they should need a larger area in order to make sure that you don't become tamei. And therefore, the Gemara now explains that we actually have to switch around the Mishnah. El b'med v'amrum, what the Mishnah meant to say is that the only time that Basil said that it's enough to have a chotz akeva that was only four tvachim is shepischem latzad, is when the entrance and the exit to the chotz akeva is on the side and there are actually steps leading away from the chotz akeva. Have a pischem l'magla, but if the only way to get out of this chotz akeva is by using your hands and you have to lift yourself up out of this pit that was built into the ground, then certainly even Basil agrees to Beis Shammai that the only way that we consider that this person is not tamei is if the chotz akeva was a shear of four amos by four amos. And the Gemara now brings its raya to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'hani mili chotz akeva d'mesayim mechitzasa. And the only time that we said that you're not considered tamei is only when you're in a chotz akeva, because we have very clear and very defined mechitzas, and therefore there's a hekka, and you're not going to worry that maybe he'll be ma'al al meis. Avol mes ba'al matafis, but it's muchach from the Mishnah that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai both agree that if it would be a corpse by itself and you're above that corpse, then as long as you're within four amos to that corpse, it would be taifis abba amos, and the person would become tamei midrabanan. And Rashi points out, avol mes ba'al mahamutu ba'aveh moide Beis Hillel taifis abba amos mid itzrich l'misnei imilu teichitar. And the riot to this is by the fact that the Mishnah had to say that if someone's standing within the chotz akeva, then he's tar, and the iba alma loy gaza, and if there was no gzera in any case, lami lashmin and hacha detar, then why would the Mishnah have to teach us that if someone's standing within the chotz akeva, then he's considered tar? And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph that states, umi isha she'iris isha, another exemption for a person that was about to go to war was a person who was engaged to his wife and did not yet get married. And the Mishnah stated, echad ma'aris is apsulav, echad ma'aris is hamana, afilu shemeris yavam, vafilu shamash shemes achav b'machama, that all of these people would have an exemption and they would not go to war. And our Gemara begins and brings a brisa. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the brisa, Asha'iris, the pasuk says Asha'iris, and we learn out Echad Ma'aris is Habsula, the Echad Ma'aris is Hamana, the Echad Shemeris Yavam, the Afilu Chamisha Achen, and even if there were five brothers that went to war, Umes Echem Habim Mechama, and one of them died while they were at war, Kulan Chayzin, then all the brothers would leave the war and would be exempt from staying at war, as there's a potential that one of them will marry this Shemeris Yavam, and therefore they're all considered exempt from going to war. And some explain that even though the Gemara did not explain exactly how we learned this out of the word Asha'iris, and some explain that the Gemara is learning it the same way we learned B'negei Bayis and B'negei Kerem, and since the Pasuk could have said Umi Asha'iris Isha, and instead it said Umi Isha Asha'iris Isha, therefore we include all of these dinim. However, the Rosh Hashanah says that over here we don't have to teach us that, as the word Asha'iris includes all these people, and there's no reason that we need any other limud, as the standard Lashon Iris includes someone that's Ma'aris Besula, Ma'aris Amana, and the Shemeris Yavam. And the Braisa continues that the Pasuk states Umi Isha Asha'iris Isha v'loy l'kacha yelich v'yashav lebeisa peynamus b'machama v'ish acha yikachena. And the Braisa states loy l'kach v'loy l'kacha, that it didn't have to say v'loy l'kacha, it could have said loy l'kach, and by the fact it said an extra hey, so we learn out prat lal manal l'kayin gadol gushav v'chlutz l'kayin hedit mamzerisin l'sin l'yisrael bas yisrael l'mamzer l'sin. And as Rashi in the left column states l'kacha midloik siv l'kach miyutuhu l'meute l'kichas isa, and this comes to your mind that a man is not exempt from going to army if he is engaged to someone that is an isalav to him. And of course, as we see in many cases, even though a chalutza is only an issur rabbanan, however, the Gemara brings that because it brought grusha, and it's standard in the Gemara that whenever we bring the word grusha, we bring chalutza as well, b'negei kohen hedit, and we say grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedit, even though the word chalutza is lav davka, and others explain that potentially the chalutza would also be a problem, and you would not be exempt if you were married to chalutza, ayin b'mefarshim. And the Gemara continues, leim d'leik Rabbi Yisrael Glili, would you say that this price is not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili? The Rabbi Yisrael Glili, if it would be Rabbi Yisrael Glili, ha'oma, but Rabbi Yisrael Glili on the Memhir ben Aleph in the Mishnah will tell us that from the Pasuk, in Pasuk Ches, that states, Hayari v'racha levav, we learn out, Zeh misyarim avirish b'yaday, that a person that's worried because he has avirish, that he would be exempt from going to the army. And l'chayir, by the fact that the Braisa brought a Pasuk of Leil L'kacha to teach teach us that that's coming to exclude that someone is not exempt from going to Ami if they got engaged to Amon Kohen Gadol, Gushim Chalutzel Kohen Hedi, etc. If L'chaira, you don't need a pasuk for that, as they are a person that they have a virus, and therefore they will be exempt based on the pasuk of a Yari V'racher Levav. And the Gemara answers, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, that really we could say that this price is going like Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, and Kid Rabba, and even so, we still need the word of L'chacha to teach us Prat La Amon Kohen Gadol, etc. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba stated, La'ilum Ein Chayiv Ad Sheyivol, that even if an Amonim gets married to a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha V'chlutza to a Kohen Hedit, that the only Issa is once they actually have beer with that woman. But if there's actually only Erisin, then they didn't have an Avera, and therefore they're not people that are Misyarim Avera should be Adai, because they didn't do an Issa Deraisin yet at this point. And even so, the Torah tells us, V'loi L'kacha, Prat La'amon L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'chlutza L'Kohen Hedit, that they would not be exempt from going to the army. And the Gemara continues and brings the Makar for Rabba, and this will be based on the Psukim that are relevant to the Issa Deraisa for a Kohen to marry an Amon Grusha. And let's just read the Psukim. The Pasuk says, Amon Grusha V'chalol Zayna Es'ilu La'ikach Ki'im Besulim Me'amav Yikach Isha. And then the next Pasuk states, V'le'ichal Zari Ba'amav Ki'anei Hashem Kadishai. And therefore Rabbi explains, Ma'atam La'ikach, why is it that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry this woman Mishum La'ichal, because it'll come out that she'll be Mishal his children, Mishum Hachi In La'ika Ad She'ivol. And therefore the only Issa is if you are married to her and there's a potential for you to have children. However, if you did not have beer yet, since there's no potential yet that you'll be Mechal your children, so therefore the Issa Derais of Almon Grush V'chalol Zaynes Eilu La'ikach would not be applicable as of that point. And the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa that we had three exemptions for a person that was going to Muhammad. Number one, Asher Bana, if he built a home. Number two, Asher Nata, if he planted a vineyard. And number three, Asher Eris, if he got engaged. And based on the order that's brought in the Torah, therefore the Braisa teaches us, Lim the Torah Derech Eretz, that the Torah is teaching you the way that a person should act. Sheyivna Adam Bayis, that a person should first build a house, V'yita Karim, and he should have a panasa, and he should plant a vineyard, V'achin Yisa'isha, and only afterwards should he get married. And the Braisa continues, V'af Shleima Omer B'chachmasai, and Shleima Melech, through his wisdom, said the same thing in a Pasuk of Mishlei, as he stated, Hachim B'chutz Malachtecha, V'atto Basad Olach, Acha Ovanisa Be'secha. And the simple meaning is that you should prepare your work outside, and you should also prepare yourself in the Sada, and afterwards you should build your house. However, the Gemara explains, Hachim B'chutz Malachtecha, Zeb Bayis, that refers to a person's house, and Va'atto Basad Olach, and you should prepare yourself in field, Zeb Karim, that's referring to someone that should plant a vineyard. And finally, Shlomo tells us, Acho Benisa Be'secha, and only afterwards should you build your home, and of course, Be'scha Zu Ishtcha, that a person's home refers to a person's wife. And therefore, he should only get married after he did the first two things, and after he already has a home, and he already has a panasa. And the Ben Yehuda explains that the Lashon of Hachim Bachutz is referring to a bias, is because the Lashon Bachutz is from the Lashon of Mechitza and Chatzitza, because a house is chaitzis between a person that lives in it and the people that are walking in the street, and they're walking in Rishis Rabin. And he also is bothered, why does the Gemara say Ubedisa Beisecha Zu Isha, if L'chayr, the standard Lashon Bayis, should refer to a person building his own home? And he explains that since the Pasuk did not say Acha Ubedisa Bayis, you'll build a home, but it says your home, so it's Mashma, it's your wife that belongs to you, which we know that Abam Yoyim Kayim Yitzir Savlad, that Kodesh Baruch Hu already said that this is the person you will marry. And that's why the Braisa feels we should dash in the Pasuk of Ubedisa Beisecha, that it's referring to a person's wife. And as he brings down that the Pasuk states V'chiva Ba'adoy Va'ab, and we know that Beisai Zu Ishtai. The Ben Yada also states that by the fact that the Pasuk states, Hachim Bachutz Malachtecha V'atto Basad Olach, and then it says Acha Ubedisa Beisecha, and the Pasuk doesn't state the word Acha prior to saying V'atto Basad Olach, he says that the order of the first two dinim are not necessarily a specific order, and if you want to build your house first and then plant a vineyard, that's fine, and if a person wants to have panasa first and then buy a house, that's also fine. The only thing that we have Akbada on is a person should have a panasa and a house before they get married. And the Braisa continues with three other ways to understand this pasuk. Dava acha, hachim b'chutz malachtecha, zeh mikra, that refers to a person that should learn mikra first and should learn Torah first. Va'atu basad olach, zeh mishnah, that refers to mishnah. Acha b'nisa beisecha, and only afterwards should you actually build your home. Zeh gemara, that refers to gemara. Dava acha, another pshat, hachim b'chutz malachtecha, zeh mikra mishnah, this refers to mikra and mishnah. Va'atu basad olach, zeh gemara. Acha b'nisa beisecha, ilu ma'isim tevim, that refers to a person doing ma'isim tevim, as you have to have lumoid al manas lases. Rabbi Elazar ben Eishor b'yisek lili ema. And only finally you'll build your house. At that point you'll be able to dash in and be mekabel schar. And some explain that this means that a person that already has Torah and he has ma'isim tevim, then at that point he'll have the understanding to be able to dash in Torah, and he will receive the koyach hachadish. And others explain it means that you should go and teach Torah, and you shouldn't just learn by yourself, as at this point you're already a tamu chacham and you already have ma'isim tevim. And once again, again, the main theme of all of these different limudim are that a person has to go in a standard order, and they shouldn't try to jump ahead of a stage of their life, but they should continue within the order, and this way they'll be able to accomplish the most that they can. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, Ve'ilu she'inu klesin, and these are not exempt from going to Muhammad, Habayna Beishar, etc. And then the Mishnah stated, Rabbi Huda Ema, Afa Bayna Bayis, Almachayna Le'echayza. Rabbi Huda stated that if someone rebuilds their home, then you do not go back, and you are not exempt from war. And the Gemara explains, Tana, we learned in Baisa, Im Haisa Baidimus Echad Chayza, that even according to Rabbi Huda, if you would add on one level of bricks, and you'd make your house either taller or wider or longer, then we do not consider that you built your house on its original foundation, and therefore you would be exempt from war. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Rabbi Leza Ima Afa Baina Bayis Levain and Bisharin, Le'echayza, that a person that builds a home out of bricks that came from the dirt of Sharin would not be exempt from going to war, as such a home is not something which is stable and will not last very long. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Mishbeshim, Chachan Isa, Pamayim Bishvua, that the reason is because you have to renew this home twice every 7 years, as it's not going to last very long because these bricks are not very solid and not very strong. And this reminds us of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where he said, Val Anshi Hashemrin, Haya Imer, Shalayu Bateim Kivreim. And the Mishnah continued that although the original exemptions, even though they were exempt from going to the army, but they had to be Misapkin Mayim and Mazel Achayim, and they still had to be busy with the war effort. However, the Mishnah continued, Ve'ilish Ein Zazim Mekayman, that these are people that would not have to go to war and would not have to be busy with the war efforts at all. And Bada Bayis Chadish V'Chanachai, if someone built a home and he actually went and lived there already, but he wasn't living there for an entire year, or not a Karim V'Chilai, or Hanaisis Rusasai, if he actually got married to the person who he was engaged to, or Akrinis Yavintai, Shinema, as the Pasuk states in Pasuk Kisetse, and the entire Pasuk reads, Kiyikach Ishisha Chadosha, Lo Yetzi Batsava, Vlo Yavar Lov Lchodova, Noki Yir Lebeis Yishana Achas, V'Simech Esishtoi Asher Lokach. And the Mishnah learned by the fact that it said, Noki Yir Lebeis Yishana Achas, Lebeisoi Zeh Beisoi, Yir Zeh Kamai, V'Simech Esishtoi Zu Ishtoi, and then finally, Asher Lokach, Lahav Yisiv Vimtai. Now, our Gemara continues with the Braisa, Tanur Abanan. The Torah specifies Isha Chadosha, Ein Lele Isha Chadosha. One may think this only refers to a Besula, Amano Gusha Minayin. How do you know if you married Amano Gusha that you would also be exempt? Tamalema Isha Mikal Makaim, Imke Matam Elam Isha Chadosha. So why does the Torah state that she was a new wife, Misha Chadosha Loi? It has to be that he's a new wife to her, Yotzim Machse Gushosha, Shein Chadosha Loi. And therefore, if a person remarries his original wife, they divorce, then he would not be exempt from going to the army. And the Gemara continues that in this pasuk, the Torah stated, Lo Yetze Batzava, and also says, Vlo Yavar Olav L'chol Dava, Noki Yil Abese Shana Achas. And the Gemara explains, Tanah Baran, Lo Yetze Batzava, Yochel Batzava Hud Lo Yetze, that even though you won't go to war, Avi Yaspik Mayim Mazim, Yisakan Adrachim, but you still have to be involved in the war efforts. Tam Leimah, the pasuk says, Vlo Yavar Olav L'chol Dava, and we see he has no responsibilities at all. Yochel Shana Imar, Ba'afa Bain Bayis, Vlecha Nachai, so maybe you think that even a person that builds his home and was not mechanach that home, or not to Karen Vlechilai, or Irisisha Vlechacha, that he would still not be responsible to do anything at all, and he wouldn't even be responsible for any war efforts. Tamalei Malav, only these people do we say that the din is that they're not responsible at all, and they don't have any connection to war efforts. However, those exemptions that are mentioned in Pasha Shaftim would still not be exempt from all war efforts. And as the Gemara states, Alav Yatimaver, Aval Atimaver, Achirim, and the Gemara continues, Achad Chosav Lo Yavar Lo Yetzir Betzav Lamali, once it states that they don't have any responsibilities for the war effort, why does it state that they don't have to go to war? Certainly they don't have to go to the battlefield. The Gemara answers, Lav Alav B'Shnei Lavim, in a Chinami, it's coming to tell you that this person would actually have two Lavim. And for this Gemara, it's clear that if someone built a home and was Mechanachit, he planted a vineyard, V'chulai, or if he was Nesis or Sasai, then it's also for them to go to war, and they wouldn't be able to decide that I want to go to war, even though I just got married. However, if a person was Bana Bayis, V'loi Chanachai, or he was not a Karen, V'loi Chulai, or if he was Iris Isha, V'loi Lekacha, over there there's a Shaila, if that's a Rishus, and he's exempt from the army if he wants to be exempt, or is it an actual exemption and it will be us of him to go to war, I am in Farshim. And the Mishnah continues to discuss Pasuk Ches in Pasha Seiftim that stated, V'yosu ha-shaytum l'dabala om v'amru miya ish ha-yori v'rachay leva v'yelich v'yoshav l'besai v'layimas ez l'vav echav k'l'vavai. And as we already learned, this is the third category. As we learned the first category in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where the Pasuk in Pasha Seiftim in Perek Chof, Pasuk Beis starts, V'hayu k'kavicham ala mechama v'nikash ha-koyim v'dibe ala om, and then the Torah states, V'om aleim, Shema Yisrael, Atum k'rim ha-yom la mechama, al yarech l'vavcham, al tiru v'al tachpuzu 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 v continue, and then the pasuk teaches us, and the Torah also mentions someone that planted a vineyard, and also our Mishnah now will explain the pasuk of etc. And Rabbi Kiva explains when the pasuk says that he said that someone that's fearful and he's scared, it means someone that's actually scared that he can't stand within the war when people are tight together and they're fighting for their lives, and he also can't see a sword that comes against him, and he is scared to die and he's scared of his enemies. And Rabbi Yisrael says this refers to someone that's scared because he has a virus, and therefore he's nervous that he won't have schusim and he won't survive the war. And Rabbi Yisrael continues, and basically he states that in order that this person that has a virus does not have busha, so the Torah also said that someone who built a house or planted a vineyard or just got married will also be exempt, in order to make sure that this person that has a virus will not be embarrassed to admit that he had a virus, and this way he'll definitely leave the war effort and he'll go back home. As we know that if a person doesn't have chosim, that's actually the worst possibility, and that's the person that likely will die in the war. And the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yisrael amanal kain gadol gushav chalutzel kain hedit mamzerson asin lisol basisol mamzel sin harehu hayoriv rachel levav. This is what the Torah means when it states hayoriv rachel levav. And the Gemara will discuss what is the nafkamina between Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yisi Aglili. And the Mishnah continues, v'hoi kachalesa sheitul nadabel am upaktu sari tzavais purei sham. After the officer made these announcements, then the general led them into war, and he stood at the front of the nation. And the Gemara continues, uvei kavi shalom, that not only was he in the front, but he also put very strong soldiers at the back. And the Brisa explains, mamidim zekifim l'fneim, they placed very strong soldiers in the front, that if someone would actually fall in battle, that these people would be able to pick them up and make sure that they continue on and give them words of encouragement. And they also placed very strong soldiers in the back, and they had iron axes in their hands, and if there was any soldier that wanted to desert the army, they had the permission to go and chop off their legs. And we continue on the reason why they had this permission is because this person was considered Raidav, as the beginning of defeat is when people start deserting the army and start running away from the enemies. Shenem, as the Pasuk states in Shmuel Aleph, Nasi Sol, Fnei Plishtim, that Klai Yisrael ran away from the Plishtim, and then we see that it was a great Magefa by the nation because the Plishtim were able to overcome and were able to defeat Klai Yisrael. And again, by Shmuel Aleph, it also says, and we explain the Mishnah of Tchilas Nisan Nefila as the Gemara will explain it. However, the Lashon of Tchilas Nisan Nefila is L'chayra Mashma, exactly the opposite, and the Gemara will ask that L'chayra Ipchumi Baile Shanisi Tchilas Nefila Ayin the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues that although we stated that there are many exemptions, B'medvim, the only time that we actually have exemptions are B'mechamis Rishus, is only if the Muhammad is B'mechamis Rishus, B'mechamis Mitzvah. But if it will be B'mechamis Mitzvah, for example, like Kibush Eretz Yisrael, Hakol Yoytzin, then everyone has to go out B'mechamah, and there are no exemptions. And even a chassan would leave his room when he's going to get married, and a kala from a chuppah would also not be exempt. Now, l'chayra, a kala is a woman, and a woman is not mechuyev in going to war. And some explain that it means that a kala would also be involved in the war effort, and she would also be mesafkimayim mazan, etc., and do anything that is necessary for the war. And others explain that even though women may think that b'negeya bias, so it doesn't affect another person, or b'negeya kerim, it doesn't affect another person, but a chassan from his chuppah, where it's going to affect the kala, and the kala doesn't have a chiyuv to go to war, maybe we would say that the chassam would be exempt. Kamash Blan, that the Mishnah states that even though the chassam will leave his cheder and it will affect the kala, she will not be able to get married, that even so, he will not be exempt and he will have to go to war. And the Mishnah continues, Amr Rabbi Yehuda states that when do we say that there are exemptions, it's only by Mechamis Mitzvah. If you have an obligation to go to war, then there are no exemptions and everyone has to go out to the war effort. And the Gemara will discuss what exactly is the nafkamina between the Tanakama's Lashon and Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon, and if there is actual nafkamina at all. And the Gemara begins, "My ikka ben Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yisi Aglili." What is the nafkamina between Rabbi Yisi Aglili, who stated Hayariv Rachel Levav is referring to a Misyari min Aver Shibiyadai, and Rabbi Yisi, who stated this refers to Hamonal Kain Gadol Guchav Chutzel Kain Hedit, etc. And the Gemara explains, "Ikka benau Aver Rabbanan." The nafkamina would be if someone's even Isid Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yisi Aglili, Lemaisi is as Aver Shibiyadai. However, as Rashi says, Rabbi Yisi Achi Yava Advatera Dumi Dal Manal Kain Gadol Uchagain Shinasad Ika Issa, and Rashi points out that it has to to be that this person actually married her, because at that point there's an actual Isser. And the Gemara continues, Kiman Azla Hadutanya, that who is the following Brisa going like, Sach bin Tfilo Tfilo, if someone spoke between putting on his Tzulin Shel Yad and his Tzulin Shel Rosh, and Rashi says, and he didn't go and make an extra bracha, which we'll get back to in a moment, Aveir Biyadai, that's considered a Din Aveira, the Chayzaleh Me'achir Muhammad, and he would be exempt from going to war. Zach Gemara, Kiman Rabbi Seglivi, this is going like Rabbi Seglivi, that says, even on a small Aveira, like such an Aveira, you would still not be able to go to war, and you'll be exempt. And Rashi brings, Aveir Biyadai, Im Lechazu Ubirech, if you didn't make another bracha when you're putting on your Tfilin Shel Reish, the Hachyamina B'Menachis, Sach B'Varach Shtayim, Loi Sach B'Varach Achas, and Rashi learns the Gemara B'Menachis on Daflam V'Vavim Rav, that it means as follows, that a person has a chiv to make only one bracha when they're putting on the Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Rosh, and all you would make is a bracha of Linech Tfilin. However, the only time you actually have to make two brachas is if you spoke between putting on your Tfilin Shel Yad and putting on your Tfilin Shel Rosh, as at that point you had a hefsik, and then you would make a bracha of Al Mitzvah Tfilin on your Tfilin Shel Rosh, since you were mafsik after making the bracha of Linech Tfilin, and therefore that bracha cannot go on the Tfilin Shel Rosh. And therefore, if a person spoke between putting on that Tfilin Shel Yad and the Tfilin Shel Rosh, and they did not make that second bracha, that itself is a Avera, and even though it's such a small Avera, according to Rabbi Yisrael Levi, you would be exempt from going to war. And the Gemara continues, Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan, who's the Tana of this following Braisa? Shamakal Kronis Vertia, if a person hears the sound of the horns and he's scared, Hagafas Trisin, or the banging of the shield, Vertia, and he gets scared, and if he sees the glistening swords and he gets so scared that he urinates and he can't control his bladder, and the Braisa teaches us that in all these cases, Chayzar, that he would be exempt from the war. The Gemara says, Kaman, Lame Rabbi Kiva, Yiblai Rabbi Yisrael Levi, let us say this is going Dafka Lefi Rabbi Kiva, and not like Rabbi Yisrael Levi, because Rabbi Kiva stated that when the Torah says, Hayari Varachal Levav, is referring to a person that's literally scared, and the Rabbi Yisrael Levi, Taichit Benegay Navera, and the Gemara answers, Baha, if Rabbi Yisrael Levi Maida, of course Rabbi Yisrael Levi is Maida to Rabbi Kiva, that a person is literally frightened that he is exempt from war, Mishim Dechsiv, as the Pasuk states, Vilayimis is Levav Ochiv Kilavavai, and certainly this part of the Pasuk is talking about someone that is literally frightened, as by the fact that he shows fear, that will actually cause the rest of the army to also be scared, and it potentially will cause other people to die, and therefore this person should not join the war and is exempt from going to war. And the Gemara quotes from Mishnah, and the Mishnah continues, and as we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, how can you say that because the beginning of running away is when people get defeated, if it should be exactly the opposite, as the beginning of an army's defeat is when people start deserting the army. And the Gemara answers, the way we should read our Mishnah is that the beginning of the defeat of an army is when people start deserting the army. And the Mishnah continued, and the Gemara will explain that there is no nafkamina between Rabbi Huda and the Tanakhama benegayed dinim that are stated in the Mishnah, and only is relevant to other dinim. And as the Gemara explains, Rishus Rabbanan Zui Mitzvah Rabbi Huda, that when Rabbanan call a specific type of mechama a rishus, that is what Rabbi Yehuda calls a mitzvah, and mitzvah Rabbanan, and when Rabbanan called a specific type of a war a mitzvah, zui chayvud Rabbi Yehuda, this is the same type of mechama that Rabbi Yehuda calls an obligation. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, Rava comes to explain the words of Rabbi Yehuda, the mechama is Yeshua lichba ish divra kol chayva, that when Yeshua fought wars in order to capture Eretz Yisrael, that certainly was a chayv, and certainly both Rabbi Yehuda as well as Rabbanan, they all agree that there's no question that no one was exempt from such a war. And when David went out to fight a war and he wanted to capture more land for Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi says, that he waged battle against Syria like Sifal Eretz Yisrael in order to increase the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, so Divrei HaKol Rishus, then certainly everyone will call this a Rishus, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that this is a Mechamis Rishus, and certainly the exemption stated in Pashas Shoftim and in Pashas Kisetze would apply, and in addition by Mechamis Yeshua, everyone agreed that it's considered a mitzvah, and therefore ha'isiv a mitzvah patrimen a mitzvah, and by the mechamas based David, since it's considered rishus, then all would agree that if you're isik in the mechama of David, then you would not be patrimen a mitzvahs. And Rava continues, ki pligi, where's the machlekes between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, lemute ayduk chavim, the lace allow, if they're going out to battle ayduk chavim, in order to make sure that they're safer, and in order to make sure that Klai Yisrael doesn't have to worry about goyim, then there would be a machlekes between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda. Now this machlekes would not pertain to if the person would be actually exempt from going to war or not, as certainly all would agree that this type of war is not on the level of the wars of Yeshua, and therefore all the exemptions that we mentioned in Pashas Shoftim and in Pashas Kisetze would apply. And the only machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is, does the din of kol ha'isa b'mitzvah, patman mitzvah, apply to such a melchama or not? And the Gemara explains, ma'akarli mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda calls this type of melchama a mitzvah, and in regard to ha'isa b'mitzvah, patman mitzvah, you'll be patman mitzvah, ma'akar rishus. However, the Rabbanan called this type of melchama a complete rishus, and therefore you would not even have the din of ha'isa b'mitzvah, patman mitzvah. Nafkamina, ha'isa b'mitzvah, she'patman mitzvah, hadlach b'shur b'chama, hadlach b'shur b'chama, hadlach b'shur b'chama. And we continue with the ninth parak, the last parak of Masechta Seita, parak Egla Rufa, and the Mishnah begins Egla Rufa Blasha Kodesh. At the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph stated that the following have to be stated exactly as it's stated in the Torah, and has to be stated in Lasha Kodesh. And the seventh of the eight categories that we spoke about in the Mishnah was referring to the Pasha of Egla Rufa, and the dialogue between the Sanhedrin and the Kohanim had to be stated in Lasha Kodesh. And in a moment, we'll see that the Gemara will explain that the din that has to be Blasha Kodesh is not learned from the following pasuk, and the way that we know that the Pasha of Egla Rufa has to be stated Lasha Kodesh is similar to the way that we know that chalitza has to be done b'lashna kodesh, as by chalitza we said in the Mishnah, it states for unseva amra, and benegay the pasha of brachis and klolis that's stated on hagrizim ha'evil, the pasuk states for analivim v'amru ma'alam b'lashna kodesh afkam b'lashna kodesh, and by the pasha of Egla Rufa it says v'anu v'amru, and therefore we also learn from the brachis and klolis of hagrizim ha'evil that ma'alam b'lashna kodesh afkam b'lashna kodesh, and it's as if the Mishnah stated the ketzad, that what is the case and how is Egla Rufa performed, and now the Mishnah will explain the pasha of Egla Rufa. Shinema, as the pasuk states, ki matzi chalav ba'adama v'yotzei zekanecha v'sheftecha, that you find a corpse in your land, and the zekanim and the sheftim will go out. Shalishim bezna gadol shibishlayim ha'yetzin. And after the Sanhedrin paskin that this is a case of an Egla Rufa, so there were three of the dayanim of the bezna gadol that was in Yushlayim, that was in the lishkas ha'gazes, that would go out and would do the process of the Egla Rufa. Rabbi Yehuda imer chamisha, Rabbi Yehuda argued in Tanakama, and he says there weren't three, there were five. Shinema, as the pasuk says, zekanecha v'sheftecha, and Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word zekanecha. So it's a Lashon Rabbim, and therefore we see that there are two Zekanim, and it says Sheftecha, which is also a Lashon Rabbim, so therefore we see there were another two Dayanim, Be'im Bezin Shachal, Masifal Hayin Eri Echad, and we have a cloud that a Bezin can't be equal, as if they have a Shaila, and they only have an equal number of members of Dayanim, then they could come to a deadlock and an impasse, and therefore we have to make sure they have an uneven number of Dayanim in order to be able to vote, and then you'll have a din of Achir Rabbim Hatais. The Mishnah continues that since the Pasuk says, Ki Matze Cholo Ba'adama, that the corpse was found on the earth, therefore we have the following dinim, nimtza tamun begal, that if you find that the corpse was buried underneath a heap of stones and he's not revealed, oitalu be'ilon, or if he's hanging on a tree, oitzafa p'neamayim, or if he's floating on the water, and even if it's clear that this person was murdered first and then was placed underneath a heap of stones or hung from a tree or floating on the water, then loyhoya orphan, that they wouldn't do the pasha of Egla Rufa at all. Shenema, as it states in the pasuk, ba'adam of loytamun begal, he has to be on the earth and not underneath a pile of stones. Noifol, he has to have fallen, and he can't be hanging on a tree, and he has to be in a field, and he can't be floating on the water. If you found his body next to the border of Eretz Yisrael, or next to a city where this rave of the city is, or some say, even if there are any goyim in the city, or if you found a corpse next to a city that doesn't have a bezin of chav gimel, then once again, they wouldn't do the pasha of Egla Rufa, and they wouldn't take a calf and sever its neck. And the Mishnah ends, that you only would measure to a city that has a bezin of chaf gimel. Some explained that even though we just said three dinim, and on all of them we said loya arfin, as we said, and it's mashma that all dinim are the same, and in all, the entire pasha of Egla Rufa would not apply. However, some explained that benegated din of nimsa samach le'ir she'im ba'bezin, that the din of Egla Rufa would apply, and you just would not measure to such a city, and you measure to the closest city that does have a bezin, and therefore the Bach changes the gears over here, not loyhoy orphan, but loyhoy maidin ayin sham. We begin the Gemara, and the Gemara starts off with the point that we made when we learned the Mishnah. My karma, what does the Mishnah mean to say? If l'chira, the reason why Egla Rufa has to be done b'lashon kodesh has nothing to do with the pasuk that's brought, and the Gemara explains, Amarvo, hachi karma, this is what the Mishnah meant to say. Shinema, the way we know Egla Rufa is b'lashon kodesh is based on the fact that it says, v'anu v'amru, u'la'alanu v'ayman, and by the brachas and klolos of our grizim on our evil, it says, v'anu alavim v'amru, ma'aniya, amur la'alan, b'lashon kodesh, afkam b'lashon kodesh, v'sey da Egla Rufa ketzad, and the Mishnah and our parak now continues and explains the dinam of Egla Rufa. And the Mishnah continues, ki matzi chol ba'adam, v'yatsi zekanech v'sheftecha, shloishim, bezna gadosh v'shlaim, ha'yaitzin, etc. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda imechamisha, Rabbi Yehuda says that you didn't need three of the bezdin, but you actually had five dayanim that went out to do the pasha of Egla Rufa. And the Gemara starts, turn around, we learned the b'risa, v'yatsi zekanech v'sheftecha, zekanech shtayim, v'sheftecha shtayim, v'ein mezu shakol, v'sifon lein oilechad, harei chamisha div Rabbi Yehuda, which is exactly the repeat sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah, and the Braisa continues and brings the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon will be the same sheet as the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon states Zekinecha Shnayim, that the Pasuk states Zekinecha, and it uses Lashon Rabbim. Therefore, we know that you need two Dayanim by the Pasha of Eglarufa, the Ein Bezin Shakal, Maisivim Leinechad, and since we have a cloud that a Bezin cannot be even, therefore you have to add on one Dayan, Harekan Shleisha, therefore we have three Dayanim. And the Gemara asks Rabbi Shimon Nami Haksiv Shevtecha, the Lachira, Rabbi Shimon also has to dash in the word of Shevtecha, which is Mashma Lashon Rabbim, and Lachira, why does he argue on Rabbi Huda? And the Gemara answers, Ahumi Bailei Lemichadish Shevtecha, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the reason why the Torah tells us Shevtecha is that he teaches us that these are your Shevtim, and the only Dayanim that are Kasha to do the Pasha of Eglar Rufa are only Dayanim that come from the Sanhedrin Gedela that were found in the Lishas Hagazis. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Huda, has Rabbi Huda know that you need these Kashva Zakenim? And Rabbi Huda says that it only had to say Ziknei by the fact that it says Zakenecha, so we're able to learn out both Dinim. And number one, we learn that you need Michadim Shevishivtecha, and number two, we learn that it's a Lashon Rabbim, and therefore you need an additional two Dayanim. And as the Gemara states, Mizikne Zakenecha Nafka, and the Gemara states, Rabbi Shimon, Ikas Rachman Ziknei, Havamina Afil Ziknei Ashok, if we'd only say Ziknei, then we would think that you don't need a Sanhedrin from the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph, even if you have Dayanim that come from a reasonable Bezdin of three, that would be fine. Kas Rachman Zakenecha, and that's why the Torah says, your Zakenim, that they have to be Chashav Zakenim, Vikas Rachman Zakenecha, and if the Torah would only state Zakenecha and not Shevtecha, Havamina Afil Sanhedrin Katana, you may think that these three Dayanim could come from a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, Kas Rachman Vishevtecha, Limichadim Shevtecha, and therefore the Torah tells us it has to be your most Chashav Shevtim, and has to come from Sanhedrin Hagdela, and from the Bezdin of Ayin Aleph that was found in Lishkas Hagazis. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda, and how does Rabbi Yehuda know that it has to be Minchadim Shevtecha? And the Gemara explains, Gama Ziknei Ziknei, he actually learns Egzir Shava from the word Ziknei that's found over here by the Pasha of Eglar Ufa, and we also find the word Ziknei that states Mizikne Eda by Smicha of the Parhelm Dav Shel Tziba, and Malala Minchadim Shevtecha, just like over there we know it has to be Minchadim Shevtecha, Afkam Minchadim Shevtecha, also over here it has to be Minchadim Shevtecha, and therefore the Rabbi Yehuda, he has the extra word of Zekinecha as well as for Shevtecha to teach us that you need four Dayanim, and then in Bezin Shakal Maisif Malay Erechad. The Gemara continues, Igamor, if it's true that Rabbi Yehuda has Xer Shava, and we have a cloud that in Xer Shava Lemechza, Ligmur Lakula Milsam Hasam, then Lachir Rabbi Yehuda should learn that the Din of Egla Rufa requires five Dayanim, just like we require five Dayanim by the Parhelm Dav Shel Tziba, which the Gemara Mesechta Sanhedrin learns for the Pasuk of the Samzhu Zikde Eda, and the Lashim Samchu is Lashim Rabbim, so it includes two Dayanim. Zikde is Lashim Rabbim for two more Dayanim, Be'im Bezin Shakal Maisif Malay Erechad, and therefore just like over there you have five Dayanim, therefore by the Egla Rufa we should also need five Dayanim. Zekinech b'shevtecha lamli, so why Rabbi Yehuda need the word Zekinech b'shevtecha at all b'negeid pasha of Egla Rufa? And based on this question, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda really did not have a Kabbalah from his Rabbeim to learn Ziknei Ziknei, and therefore he doesn't learn the pasha of Egla Rufa from the pasha of Parhelm Dav Shel Tziba. Alavav b'shevtecha l'minyana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he has the extra word of vav to teach us this din, as in chinami he needs the word Ziknei Ziknecha, just like Rabbi Shimon needed to teach us Miuchadin Shevtecha. But the Maaseh, the pasuk could have stated Zekinecha Shevtecha, and didn't have to say Vishevtecha, as L'chayr we're talking about the same people. And based on the extra vav, he learns out that it must be telling us that there are actually two different groups over here. You have two Zekinim and you have two Shevtim, and then Ein Bezin Shakal Maisif Lo Nidei Erechad. And we continue on Daf Mem Heir Manav for Rabbi Shimon, and what does Rabbi Shimon do with his extra vav? Zakti Gemara Vav Le Mashblei, or as some agrees Vav Le Darish. Rabbi Shimon doesn't dash into extra vav, and therefore he only has the words Zekinecha and Shevtecha, and he only could learn that there were actually two Dayanim and Ein Bezin Shakal Maisif Lo Nidei Erechad, and therefore you have three Dayanim by Eglar Rufa and not five. And this is the basis of the machlekes between Rabbi Shimon, who is the Tana of Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara continues, Elam Me'ata, if you're telling me that we have to look at every word that says in the Pasha of Eglar Rufa, so then the Torah states V'yatzu, and we should add on Shnayim, we should add on an extra two Dayanim, U'magdu, and when it says that they measured, so it's again the Lashon Rabbim, and we should add on another two Dayanim, the Rabbi Yehuda Harei Kantisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda that originally had five, now we should need nine Dayanim, and Rabbi Shimon Harei Kantisha, even according to Rabbi Shimon, we should add on another four, and we should need seven Dayanim. And the Gemara answers, Ha'um Be'le L'chitanya, that those words of V'yatzu and U'magdu, we need for the following Braisa, that the Pasuk states V'yatzu, Hein V'le Shluchayim, that they have to go out and not the Shluchim, U'magdu, Shafil Nimsa Ba'ol Le'ir, even if you find a corpse that's right next to a city, and it's clearly next to a specific city, Ha'yumaydin, that there's still a din that you have to still measure, Shemitzu Lasa B'medida, and there's a special mitzvah to go and measure, and therefore both the word V'yatzu and U'magdu are not extra, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds we need five day on him, and Rabbi Shimon says we only need three day on him, and we will stop over here.